Hour number 15. Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. Thank you for joining me for pre and post marriage counseling. You didn't think I could do it, did you? Of course you did. Love you so much that I'm going to take the time to do it. Because that's what I do. You know, you aren't going to believe this. But right before I woke up this morning, I was dreaming. And I do that. Still somewhat in my right mind. And I was dreaming about talk radio. And I was telling somebody, I was in a restaurant somewhere, they were at a table, and I said, I do talk radio. I wake up thinking about it. That's what I was doing this morning. So before I go to work, before I go to the college and show them a film on God, I thought that I'd talk to you about how you break some old habits, where habits come from, and why we find ourselves doing what we do within the relationship over and over and over again. First of all, I want to take the time and thank many of you that have been emailing me, writing me about this stuff, and receiving some personal counseling from me. A very special male friend of mine, I want to tell you, you are tough right where you are, and right where you are, and who you are, and what you are, and how you are. And I pray that God opens up your mind to that, opens up your heart and your will to understand that He has a divine plan for you set in motion that absolutely nothing can change. I want to thank my good friend Johnny Blair. He's given me permission to use some of his music. Johnny Blair, the album is called Fire. And you're listening to cut number 7, a little industrial notch music. It was written by Blackdell, Blair, and Jones. Good piece of music. Johnny is a musician that plays his music, and you can email him at this is the way the email look, THE3BLRS at earthlink.net. Say, Johnny, I'd really like to get some more of your music. And he'll let you know how you can get that music. All right. Once you recognize that you are doing some things in a destructive way within that relationship, there comes a time when, you know, you gotta stop doing that. Because those patterns in your life are destroying your marriage. You have to consider the source. The source of where this destructive behavior come from and how it's impacted you over the years. And the reason that most of us want to, you know, break the bad habits is because they know that the bad habits that they're performing don't work. Oh, I'm sorry for those of you. I'm reading from a book by Derek Hobson and Darlene Hobson. They're a married couple. They wrote a book called Friends, Lovers, and Soulmates. I think it's a great little book. I don't believe everything in this book. I've used this book in marriage counseling, especially for African-American families, because they seem to work. What the Hopkins are saying makes an awful lot of sense to me. I've incorporated some of it in my marriage after I read the book. I've done marriage seminars for years and years when I was pastoring a good-sized Baptist church. I taught from this book. I passed it on to my associate minister for him to use it and to incorporate it in How to Help Folk Get Along. It's a very helpful book. I use it more than I use the little Christian marriage books because some of the evangelical books just don't fit me and where I am in my community. They just don't. Maybe other people live like other things, but I know the way I live in my community, and I know that bad habits come from the families that I was raised in. Bad habits that you practice in the myriad of times, in the marriage of time, makes you feel unhappy, isolated, and lonely. Because you keep doing those things and they keep making you feel that way. You feel trapped or frustrated because you're relying upon the same scene over and over and over again. And each time with different people that you meet before you get married, then after you marry that person, you keep doing these same bad habits and you're wondering why you can't get out of that cycle. Where do bad habits come from? Well, when you look into your past, that helps you understand something about the origins of those patterns. Now, here again is where you have to be very careful, because what psychology teaches and all that kind of stuff, I'm not talking about digging up stuff that you think happened to you. And, you know, you're talking about, well, I've gone into my past and that's what messed up my present, and so my future is going to be twisted. I'm not talking about that kind of Oprah Winfrey mess, that kind of psychological stuff. But there's some things that happen in your life. Things that happen with your parents, the way your parents spoke with you, talked to you, the way they treat you now, that got you tweaked. Excuse the slurp of the coffee. You know, you got to look real deep at your family, the messages that the family was sending you, the myths that you grew up with. Those kind of things that kind of cripple your capacity for love. I've already mentioned, honey, whatever you do, be careful. Don't let him touch you down there. Don't let him. See, that's a myth. She had a problem. She was frigid, rigid, and whatever the other terms were. He was a whoremonger, guys. So when your daddy comes to you and throws you a box of Trojans, I'm just being real with it. Can I get real with it? Son, when your dad comes and throws you a box of Trojans and he says, protect yourself, he isn't telling you to protect yourself from venereal disease. He's saying, go out there and use those women, but don't get them pregnant because they're going to take your money. That's what he's saying. What kind of a father is that? Well, it sounds like Brother Deacon Brown in the First Baptist Church, don't it? Yeah, sure it does. See, you have to explore the impact of long buried experiences. And a lot of these experiences are a posteriori experiences, things that shape your mind and your attitude. And then at the same time, you got to gain some clarity on what's going wrong now. You got to be able to put it together, because if you can tie it in to what happened then, to what's happening now, then you say, oh, I was listening to some twisted behavior. But wait a minute, that's mommy. Mommy would never do that to me. Mommy loves me. Mommy was twisted, okay? And her mommy was possibly twisted. Oh, I can tell you some stories. See, I came up in a family with siblings, with girls and boys. I can tell you some stories. Now, some of you don't want to hear these stories. Some of you don't even want to talk about this stuff. That's where the problem is. Now, in this book, they use a person's fictitious name to raise the illustration. And I'm not going to do that because I don't want to do that. I want to move on down to the next section. Like I said, I'm not saying everything. I just like some of the underlying principles of the book here. Well, clarify your goals. This is how you can break some bad habits. Clarify your goals. To get clear about where you're trying to go in your relationship, what you're trying to do within the relationship. And this may be good. It'll give you some down TV time so you won't have to be looking at Dancing with the Stars and try to remodel your face and everything else. Write down your goals in a specific language. You might say, I want to stop yelling when I get angry. Well, that's pretty good, but why don't you write this down? I want to be clear about what is bothering me. I want to say, I am angry because, see, clarify your goals. Just don't write down and say, I want to stop yelling at you, because you haven't dealt with them. You haven't dealt with the issue. I want to stop yelling when I get angry. No, what you want to do is you want to be clear about what's bothering you. Honey, I am angry because every time I come home and it's time to eat and you're here all day, there is no food on the table and there's food in the cupboard. There's meat in the fridge, but it's not cooked. It's not prepared. I don't want to holler when I come home at you. I would like an explanation as to why you are not able to prepare a family dinner. See what I mean? Now, if you saw your daddy come home from work every day, cussing out mama, and a fight started, dishes start flying, name calling, and everything, that's some old habits that you picked up, because that's the way you think you're supposed to talk to your wife. And you're supposed to be a Christian man now. And that's oblivion. Another way that you can approach this is that you can say, I want to be honest about myself and not exaggerate my educational achievements. In other words, I'm going through some counseling with a man. He called me yesterday and he asked me to participate in some kind of way in a business project with him to be a successful entrepreneur. And I've told this man on numerous occasions that that's not his forte. What he needs to do is to get a good money paying job and get up every day and go to work and stop trying to see. Look, let me tell you something. I'm the kind of a man, as a pastor, I don't have to come in my office and get on my knees and pray and ask God to tell me what to speak about on Sunday morning. I just open up my Bible and I read the Bible. I let God speak to my mind, and he opens up the idea to me as I read the word of God. And then I develop it exegetically, put a title to it, a middle and an ending to it. And I can speak 90 minutes on 3 verses. Why? Because God has gifted me to do that. And I have an earned master's degree in theology. I know how to do it. I am a professional. I am a pastor. I know how to do that. This man is trying to be successful, this particular man. He doesn't have the tools to do it. That's why he wants me to participate with him. See, if I'm asked about college, I want to say, I did not graduate because I became very involved in political work. But I want to be accepted for who I am. Wait a minute, hold it. Hold it, hold it, hold it. You need to say, I can't fulfill that. Because, let me slurp this coffee. Because that's not who I am. See, changing behavior with self-talk. This is interesting. Identify that negative pattern and how it's affecting you. Perhaps you become anxious when you meet someone new if you're not married to them, and you brag in order to boost your own value in their eyes. A lot of guys do that. Yeah, well, see, well, I'm this and I'm that, and I was this and I'm that, and she's supposed to be impressed by that. Guys, you need to stop that. Just be yourself. Afterwards, you breathe to yourself saying, I must have made a fool of myself. You did. With all that talk, she'll never be interested in me now. Why or how could I be so stupid? Well, because you haven't broken those patterns. You're still doing it. You learned them in junior high and high school, and you're still doing it. And that's not the way to get a mate. Another thing that I can say for you ladies, as well as you gentlemen, gain control over your thoughts. When you begin to punish yourself for a mistake that you've made, put up both hands and gesture, stop, 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 while saying the word out loud. Create a private, wordless gesture that conveys the same message for the moments that you're in public. I know a person, he keeps talking and he keeps using a phrase, and the phrase is used completely out of context. And I told him one time, I said, can I tell you something? You're making a statement that is no statement. That statement makes no sense at all. It is stupid. And I said, as your friend, I will tell you that, and you need to stop making that statement. Every time he starts talking, even when he thinks he's being smart, he uses that statement, and I see the way people look at him, and I just, what I do, the gesture that I've developed for him when he's in my presence, I just bow my head, shake it. He doesn't even know that he said it. So what you have to do in order to break those, and listen. For those of you brothers and sisters that did not have the fortune to get advanced education or even finish high school, there are night school classes that you can take. You can go to night school. And I know your schedule's already twisted. You're trying to squeeze the budget to make life work, but you've got to at least go to Barnes and Noble's and buy a book on etiquette, communicative skills. I'd love to teach a class like that in the classroom. I'd love to have some folk come and say, Pastor John, can you teach us communication one? Did you take, I got an A in it when I was in junior college. That was the easiest college course I ever took. And when it was time to get up and give a speech, my goodness, I got up there and the teacher said, are you a preacher? I said, no. That was back in the 70s. I says, no. He says, well, you didn't need to take this class. I said, yes, I did, for the units. If you want a degree, you have to take speech one. Then, people, you got to forgive yourself and replace your negative thoughts with statements that are reassuring and encouraging. Please forgive yourself and don't badger yourself. Don't beat yourself down. You might say, it was a mistake to talk so much, but it isn't the end of my world. This is not a catastrophe. I can handle this. I can straighten this out. Especially, ooh, my goodness. How many of us have to go to court from time to time? And your attorney tells you, don't say anything. Don't say anything. And you just, why? I want to defend my... No, you don't even know what you're saying. You're too emotional. You aren't defending any... You're defending yourself. You're not defending a case. And then you make a statement and the judge finds you in contempt. And you don't even know. Then you say, what you doing that for? You just don't like me because I'm black. See what I'm talking about? You have to see yourself handling the same situation in a more appropriate way. You might stand in front of a mirror to practice a relaxed conversation. Or I've heard Charles Stanley say it before, talk to an empty chair in front of you and pretend that someone is sitting in that chair. Or you can find a friend who will help you role play in the conversation that you wish you had had. That's what I was trying to do with my male friend. I was trying to tell him, you're using the wrong terms. First he go, what you talking, what you? I said, why would I interrupt you, man, and tell you this if I didn't love you, man? I'm tired of you making that same mistake. You don't know what you're saying. I don't know where he picked up this particular phrase from, but it has nothing to do with the cognitive idea in the English language. Some of you may be laughing right now, but look in the mirror. Have you ever gone for a job interview and they ask you a question and you answered and the people on the panel looked at each other and kind of had this question mark on their face? And you're looking at them saying, why are they looking at me like that in your mind? You did it. When I first married Lucy, and after I was called to preach, I would preach, and Lucy would write down, as I preached, all of the non-usage words that I should say. She and the girls began to do it, too, when we started having kids, because I did it for years. And we would get home at the supper table Sunday, and they would all compare their notes on what I said. And Daddy, you said this, and Daddy, you said that. The most helpful criticism in my life were my wife and my children criticizing my preaching skills. Boy, you're talking about, man, you couldn't pay me enough money in a homiletics class for that. That was inseparable because they love me. They wouldn't lie to me. My wife is educated. Both of my daughters are very educated. They help this